Good evening. How are you all doing? It's good to see you all. Hope you've enjoyed the sun. It's been good, hasn't it? Cool. So, we are looking at Colossians, which is very exciting, isn't it? And we are going to be looking at 1 Colossians 15, 2. 23 today. And I'm going to read it to you in a different version. Is that okay? A different translation. Is that okay? You're up for that? It's the Passion Translation. Okay. So it's just nice sometimes, isn't it, when you're familiar with Scripture to hear it afresh, really. So this is just a different translation. Same Bible. So, 1 Colossians 1:15, he says this: He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. For the Son created everything, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen, every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority. It was all created by him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, so now everything finds completion in him. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he must always be embraced as the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his perfection dwell in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is restored and brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon. Never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. I preach this glorious news all over the world. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what you believe about God affects the way you live your life. What you believe about Christ affects how you see the world around you. Paul wrote these words in prison. I think it's helpful, isn't it, sometimes when you hear these words of Paul, that, you know, they're just incredible, looking at Jesus. He is the firstborn. He's amazing. He's all in all. He's above the authorities and above the principalities. It's good to know, isn't it, that Paul wasn't writing this off the back of an amazing Christian conference, or he wasn't writing this on a beach, kind of on holiday. He wasn't on a cruise, but he was in prison. And some of his most amazing, joyful work, like the book of the Philippians, he wrote in prison. And he could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It's interesting, isn't it, that he was there because of the ruling powers of his day had locked him up. And yet he was able to say, Christ is above the principalities and powers. He created all things. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority. It was all created by him and for him. The way we see God, the way we see Jesus, affects the way we live our lives and affects the way we respond to situations. So Paul, in writing to the Colossians, is empowering the community that he's a part of to reimagine the world as if Christ and not the powers were sovereign. He's calling us to live a Christ-centered, Christ-focused life. And as we grow in having Christ as our focus and as our center, it's like we see things differently. It's not that things change around us. It's not that we go around kind of in la-la land thinking that everything is glorious and wonderful. But it's seeing the wonderful and glorious one wherever we go. It says Isaiah was kind of a prophet in the Old Testament. And he had this experience, kind of, he sort of saw heaven. He saw God enthroned. And it's amazing that what the angels are saying around the throne. They're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. What an amazing perspective the angels have. They see heaven and earth full of the glory of God. I wonder if we began to think like that, I wonder if that would change the way we live our lives. I wonder if it would change Monday mornings at work. Because, you know, you wake up on Monday morning, and Monday morning is not always great, is it? yeah. Can I get a witness? Monday mornings can be tough. Because, you know, you may have had an amazing time with the Lord on Sunday evening, because you're in church, and surely church is full of the glory of God. But my office cubicle, my school, my, whatever, my office, I've always said that. I can't really think of any other working place. My garden, where's Sam? Where is he? Oh, there you are. Yes, your garden, Sam, or place of work. You work outdoors, don't you? Yeah, that's for you. It's full of the glory of God, just as much as your time with Jesus alone, just as much as the last time you had an amazing week away, kind of a Christian, whatever. God, he fills all and is in all. And this is the perspective Paul had, so that when he was in the prison, when he was in the dark place, he knew and experienced the glory of the Lord. And in the place of suffering, he could say, rejoice. Not in a shallow way, but because he knew that Christ was fully with him in that place that didn't look so great to the natural eye. So Paul is kind of asking us to be Christ-centered. And he paints this incredible picture of Jesus. And he kind of shows us a few things. He shows us that Jesus fully reveals God. And he shows us that Jesus fully reveals our true human identity. And that's why it's so important to have him as center of our lives. Because he reveals God in all his fullness, but he also reveals you in all your fullness. He reveals what it truly means to be human. He shows us what it truly is to be a son or a daughter of God. So first I just want to look at how Jesus reveals God. Jesus represents God in the fullest, truest sense possible. I've got to say, these aren't my words. if you want to know, I've been reading a book by Andre Robbe. So if I sound clever, blame it on him. I just need to do that disclaimer. So Jesus represents God in the fullest, truest sense possible. Jesus not only represents God, he is God. What he says, God says. What he does, God does. Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God became man without ceasing to be God. Jesus fully represents the Father. He fully represents God. If you can't see it in Jesus, then it's not in God. Jesus was God's final word about himself. Jesus was God's final word to us to say, this is what I'm like. Christ didn't come to bring another dim or obscure view, but a full and complete and crystal clear view of our Father and our likeness in him. So it's good to get to know Jesus, because he fully shows us what God's like. That's why it's so important that we're Christ-centered people. And that's why we should be careful when Jesus is devalued or his divinity is questioned. He is God, and he fully represents God. He fully showed us what God was like. He showed us that in his ministry. He showed us that in the way he was with people. He showed us that ultimately at the cross. I love it. I'm just going to read again. Let me find. It says this: for God is satisfied to have all his perfection to dwell in Christ. In the NIV, it said God was pleased to fully dwell in Christ. And it says, and by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is restored and brought back to himself, back to his original intent. Even though you were once distanced from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. And now there is nothing between you and Father God. I was just doing a bit of a study on this and came across a really fascinating point about Jesus and his kind of him being God. And this is what this guy said. God is often described in lofty terms. Like, has anyone ever done GCSE RE or A-level RE. Yes. So you might be familiar with these terms. Omnipresent. Do you remember that? Do you remember that lesson? So dry. No, it was great. Omnipresent means God is everywhere. Omniscient. All-knowing. Oh, very good. Points. Omnipotent. All-powerful. Yeah. So God is often described in those lofty terms. And this is what this guy says. He says, however, in becoming man, Jesus, Christ Jesus, he limits himself to a single location. God limits himself in Jesus to one single location. We read that Jesus grew in knowledge and wisdom, and that in his hometown he could not do many mighty miracles or works because of their unbelief. Despite that fact that Jesus no longer was omnipresent, omniscient, or omnipotent, God was still able to fully be himself in Christ. So Jesus stopped being omnipresent. Philippians says he emptied himself of all those things. But he was still God. So what made him God? Why? Because in essence, God is love. And the human existence is not in any way an inferior expression of his love. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And we see that when he is hung on a tree, he is fully expressing, fully revealing what God is like. And God is love. And at our moment where we were most rebellious against him, when we decided to kill him, when we decided to hit him the hardest, we see that our God fully embraces us with love and forgiveness. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That at our worst state, God responds in unconditional forgiveness. That in our worst rebellion and hatred, God responds in perfect forgiveness. We see in Christ dying on a cross that God, he is not vengeful, he is not easily offended, but rather at the peak of our enmity against him, he was willing to reconcile us back to himself, even while we were still dead in our trespasses and sins. Jesus fully reveals the Father, and he reveals a Father, a God of unspeakable, unknowable love. That's why it's good to be Christ-centered people, because we see a God of incredible love. You know, I found this really interesting that Jesus' blood was spilt. And it's the only blood, the only innocent blood that cried out for forgiveness. If you read through the Bible, there's innocent blood spilt, like the blood of Cain or Abel. The blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was spilt by Cain. And if you read it, it talks about how the blood cried out for vengeance. Well, Jesus is the most innocent person to ever die, and his blood was shed, and his blood cries out for our forgiveness. That's the power of the blood. That it, you know, Hebrews says his blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. It speaks about our forgiveness. It's the love of God. It's the love of the Father. So Jesus fully reveals God. But Jesus is also He fully became man. He fully became human. So he kind of reveals our true identity, that in him we find our true identity. Jesus is the revelation of the true identity of God. He was also human in the fullest and truest sense. So it is in him that we find our true identity. It's in Jesus that true humanity is revealed, and that our true identity can only be found in union with God. As we kind of have Jesus as the center of our lives, as we place him above everything that we face, we see who God is, but we also begin to find out who we are. We're the sons and daughters of God. We find out that we're loved. We find out that he has come and restored back that relationship, so that we now have union and friendship with God, and that nothing can separate us from that love. So it's good, isn't it? Good to have Christ at the center. And as I say, that then spills into how we live our lives and how we react to different situations. We begin to see that the earth is full of his glory, that all things hold together in him. I think that's so comforting, those words in Colossians, that all things hold together in him. You know, whatever kind of situation, whatever, you know, we wouldn't be existing right now if we weren't held together in God. Just kind of waking up in the morning and drawing breath is a miracle, because we are sustained by God. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. Knowing that he holds everything, that we're in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's knowing that. Knowing that he, no matter where we are, God is there. I love what David says. David, the guy in the Bible. I know a lot of Daves. This particular David said something really great. He said in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast." The reality is that there's nowhere you can go where God isn't. You can't escape God. You can't outrun him. You can't get lost. You might feel that you're lost, but he's everywhere. He takes up all the space. And David says, "If I make my bed in the depths, or in Sheol, or in hell," as it says in some translations, that even in my darkest moment, in my moment of most pain, in my moment of just feeling like I'm lost, there he is. So comforting to know that in those places, we don't need to try and get God to come in to those places. He's already there. And it's almost just realizing that he's there. And so when you're walking with people who are in dark places, you don't have to drag them out to a higher place. You can say, "Let me introduce you to the God who's already here. already in this place of suffering, already here in this place of darkness, because you see, David said that even darkness is as light to you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I find that really comforting. He holds all things together. He is supreme. He is everywhere. And it's, I guess, for us, beginning just to realise that he's here. He's in the workplace. He's in the Monday morning. He's at home. He's kind of in the park. He's everywhere. And Paul had that mindset. Paul had that Christ-centered mindset. He knew that Jesus fully showed him who God was. He knew that Jesus showed him what it meant to truly be human. And he knew that Jesus took up all the space, so that even in his prison cell, he could say, "Rejoice in the Lord." Let's pray.